Hey, the guy tries to have fine.
Hi, kia ora.
Kia ora, tēnā koutou katoa, ko Rose Haskell, aho. Nau mai haru mai ki tēnei kōrero I tēnei pō, ko te kaupapa mō tēnei pō, he whāngai ū. Hi everybody, I'm Rose Haskell. Welcome to tonight's Facebook Live. We're in the spirit of World Breastfeeding Week 2022. We are going to talk about all things breastfeeding. Just for those of you who don't know, kia ora, I am the Community Services Coordinator for Whanau Āwhina Plunkett and I'm based in the Taranaki region. And joining me tonight is the lovely Tracy. Together we will go through some of the questions that we get asked all the time about breastfeeding. So, nō reira, ngā mihi nui and a big welcome to you, Ihoa. Tell us about yourself.
Oh, kia ora. It's nice to be here. Ko Tracy Takawingoa. My name's Tracy. I'm a Plunkett nurse and I'm based in the mighty Tauranga Moana. I'm a lactation consultant based on Zoom at Plunkett Line when I'm not Plunkett nursing. So my nursing, I started in the women's health ward, surgical ward in Tauranga Hospital and worked there and in the maternity unit, postnatal ward, special care baby unit, which is where I got my LC qualification. And then I joined the Whanau Āwhina Plunkett team about 5 years ago. I can never remember exactly how long ago. It's always longer than I think. I was a Mount Maunganui Plunkett nurse for 4 years and I've been working for Plunkett Line for just over a year now as an LC. So each day I travel via Zoom all over Aotearoa, Tamaki Makaurau, Ōtautahi, and lots of places that I never even knew existed in New Zealand. And I talk to mamas and papas and whānau in there and visit their pepe and talk about breastfeeding. So, yeah, that's me.
Oh, ngā mihi ihoa. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. To all of you watching right now, if you have any questions about breastfeeding, we've got a few pātai that we will go through this evening, a few questions. But if you have any questions about breastfeeding, just type them into the comments and we will try and answer them along the way. So let's get into it, my friend. Let's get into it. To start our conversation, Tracy, we want to know the most common questions you get asked about breastfeeding.
Well, probably the most common referrals and calls that I get that are breastfeeding is nipple and breast pain or damage and how to help with that. And that's probably only second to concerns about supply. So that's about having too much supply or having too little supply and how to help with that. But so many things. How to get babies off the nipple shield is a common one at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a massive one in the community. And I can definitely attest to all the worries that come with the nipple pain and how that's going to affect the baby getting the nourishment that they need. So yes, okay, let's talk about why breastfeeding is so important. Why is breastfeeding so important, Te Hoa?
Well, breastfeeding is kind of like a perfect food. It's got all the nutrition that babies need in the first 6 months of their life. It's designed specifically for your baby, and not only human milk designed for human babies, but each individual mum and pair are designed for each other. And so breast milk is not only nourishment for that baby's brain and development and gut health, but it also passes through lots of information about the world that they're in, you know, whether it's too hot or too cold, certain bugs that are in the air, you know, the mama's milk will provide some antibody protection against those bugs. But it's also passing along, you know, things about our ancestors, things that make us up as humans in our history. We're passing on that information via our milk. It's easy to digest. It adapts very quickly to what your baby needs throughout its lifespan, baby's lifespan. Yeah. It's the perfect temperature. It's free. And it really helps mum and pepe to fight off illnesses and can protect some future, provide future protection too.
Yeah, it's pretty magical stuff. I've seen a lot of videos and resources on the internet where the amount of the thick stuff versus the watery stuff changes, just even depending on the health of the child as well. It's such a magical thing that the bodies, both bodies, as you say, mum and baby, are designed to just match in together with that level of colostrum and the watery stuff. Well, can we call it the watery stuff? So that all gets, yeah, that all gets passed on in perfect measures based on what's on top for the baby, whether they're not well or that sort of stuff. It's really quite a magical thing, this. So
yeah, nice. When it's a hot day, they'll put more, there'll be more watery components in it. When it's nighttime, there's more fat. When it's nighttime, there's nighttime hormones. When it's daytime, there's daytime hormones. So you know, it changes throughout the day and night and lifespan of the baby.
Yeah. Oh, gorgeous. Magical, absolutely magical. All right, another really big issue facing our mama at the moment and all the time is biting. So my baby is biting my breast. Oh, can you give us some lovely advice about how we go about that, how we navigate the
that biting? Yeah, so it on the age of the baby, sometimes it can be a little bit dependent. You know, sometimes very young infants will clamp down, so they don't have teeth, but they kind of clamp down. So if that's the reason, then quite often just watching your baby and seeing, you know, the most common time that they do clamp down, and that's often towards the end of a feed for a young baby. And so predicting when it's going to happen and preventing it by taking baby off beforehand can be one of the key ones when babies are very young. But if, for older infants and toddlers, sometimes it's about figuring out where that bite came from. Sometimes it can be a way of getting mum's attention, you know, like doing something and mum's talking or talking somewhere else and they bite down because they were trying to, you know, kōrero and mum's and feed and mum's doing something else. And, oh, you know, like, oh, hello, yes, I am talking to you. So, you know, is that the reason why? Sometimes it's just as they're drifting off to sleep. And so, but one of the key things is when babies do bite is showing them, you know, that you're, you know, that did hurt, you know, because babies are very empathetic. You know, you put a baby and you see it, they see another baby upset, they get upset too. Yes. And just like that, you know, they notice when their mums are upset. So of course they giggle and they smile at you because they're like, I don't like seeing you upset. Can you, you know, I'm sorry. And so that makes us smile, but it's important to say, you know, that did hurt and show them your sad face. And that can be a good way to communicate to them and get them to stop. Sometimes they get such a fright they never do it again.
fair enough. Hey, I'm just gonna switch. So I've got lovely script of questions down here. I'm just gonna switch to a question that's just come through our comments on our live. So this is from Bianca. Kia ora, Bianca, thank you for your part. Any tips for an inverted nipple only on one side? So she was never inverted, has only recently gone like this. Any advice around that, Tracy?
Well, it's interesting that it wasn't inverted and it is inverted now. And so that might be cause for investigation, you know, to see if there's something going on that's pulling that nipple inside in the breast structure, because But I'm just wondering how old Bianca's baby is. Sometimes, you know, because of engorgement in the early stages, the nipple can draw in. So so what we would do would be to try and stimulate the nipple to get it to come out. So I've got props here. This is how I do my work online. But with inverted nipple, there's lots of stretchy tissue in the nipples. And so sometimes just manipulating the tissue around the nipple can help it to come out. Sometimes if your baby's a bit older and you can get them to go on, they will actually draw the nipple out themselves. Sometimes the use of a pump can help to pull the nipple out a little bit further. And other times we use other tools. Oh, I haven't got my my big syringe here, but we use a big syringe and turn it around, turn the plunger around and give it a pull to see if we can evert the nipple. But if you've never had an inverted nipple before, it's something that's new, then it's probably worth, you know, just running it past your doctor.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome advice. And Bianca, if you're there, if you want to give us a little more information about how old your bubba is, just so we can know, and then have a little oogle over that age, because babies are gorgeous. All right, next part time. Oh, okay, and it's one that we've just touched on is the old sore and cracked nipples. So, tell us a little bit about how. So, someone's got sore nipples, and tell us a little bit about sort of that situation. Sore nipples in general. Why?
yeah. It's a big one. It's the main part of my job. And the most important thing about nipple pain or breast pain or any pain is trying to figure out what's causing it, where it's coming from. And by doing that, then we can, you know, work on reducing that pain. So the most common cause is latching and, you know, latching and attachment and body positioning of mama and pepe. So, but all babies, all breasts are different and all babies' mouths are slightly different. So when the two come together for the first time, there's this adjustment period to find the right fit. And that's why it's really common and really normal to have nipple pain very early on at the very beginning, especially if it's your first time breastfeeding. But if that pain continues into a couple of weeks, then it could be something that's a little bit more complex. So things that when we look at fit and hold and body position and latch and things like that, and we work on that, and the biggest thing that I like to see is what the nipple looks like before it goes into the baby's mouth and what the nipple looks like when it comes out of the baby's mouth, because we can help on the outside here, but that tells me a real story about what's going on inside the baby's mouth. So, you know, we're talking about different structural things. We're all a little bit different. So sometimes structural for the baby, so it can be the way that the roof of their mouth is, how deep it is or how flat it is, their cheeks, the way that they suck. It can be how they move their tongue, the mobility of their tongue. We've all got a little frenulum under our tongue, and so for some babies it's quite far forward, and we call that a tongue tie, and other times, you know, but like very premature babies have got quite low suction pads. So every baby's jaw, skull, mouth is a little bit different, and every mum's breast and nipples a little bit different. So we may have an inverted nipple, like Bianca said, or we may have had previous breast surgery or breast or chest injury. And so, yeah, it's about finding that fit together. And then, so when we look at positioning and latch, then we look at the shape of the nipple when it comes out. And if everything's going okay there, then we may need to look a bit deeper. But getting that right tends to be the biggest and easiest way of, and lots of practice, lots and lots of practice at getting that right fit is generally the best way to help the pain. But our nerves, they're really complex glands. They're not just full of milk. They're very complex. They're full of, you know, lymphatic tissue, glands, fat tissue, circulation, you know, but they have lots of nerves in them. They're very sensitive. And so that's why that, you know, pain can be quite complex, but getting this fit and right, practicing that good latch and making everything right, lots of support and aroha to get through that pain, because it's not easy getting through pain when it's to do with breastfeeding. That's what we do for sore nipples.
And that's really lovely, everything that you've said, and I just want to reiterate to anyone that's watching this who is going through that sore nipple situation, that, you know, if you are going through that out there, you're not alone, and this is not, it's not unusual to feel this. And the really reassuring thing about it is everything you've just said, Tracy, that there are things that can be done, discussed and worked on to really alleviate any pain. So just be rest assured to all of you out there who are really feeling alone in that pain, especially in that worry that the pain is going to cause you to not want to feed and that it's going to affect your baby. There is support out there that can just a phone call or a video call away so that we can work through that together. It's because it's such a worrying time. So it's really nice to know that there's that reassurance that there are ways to alleviate that pain or investigate it further. So thank you for that. Mm. So helping to heal sore and cracked nipples. Personally, the only thing I can think of right now is Lancelot. Can you tell us a little bit more about, it's Lancelot, the cream. Ways that whānau, that our mama can help heal their sore and cracked nipples.
Yeah. So the best way to help them heal is all of that stuff that we just talked about. So finding the cause and working on repairing, working on that comfort of positioning and latching so that we can let the wound heal that was created through all of that practice period and getting it right. So, but often just keeping them cleansed, cleansed with warm water. Don't worry too much about salt soaks and things like that. A little bit's okay, but not lots. I would just use plain warm water. Avoid, soap and cleansers or, any kind of bacterial creams and things without, some guidance. And then making sure your nipples are covered. So often we use these lovely, I got taught this trick by my lovely mentor, where we cut a breast pad to there, fold it all the way around and staple it so that we create a little cone like that. So you would pop your nipple balm on there or your medicated pad to help it heal. And then popping that over top just creates a little space between your nipple and your bra or your clothes to allow that nipple to heal. Breast milk is full of antibodies and antibacterial properties. So, putting a little bit of breast milk on the nipple and allowing it to dry, as long as allowing it to dry in the cold isn't causing more pain, because sometimes it does. Especially in this cold weather, I've got a lot of mums that are experiencing nipple pain because their nipples are in the cold. So, letting it to dry is a good idea to help with that healing before popping it away, but not if that causes pain. And so in that instance, keeping it warm. The nipple balm, the Lancinol or nipple balm is good. And most painkillers are safe to take for breastfeeding mums as well. But if the pain's unrelated to that nipple damage, so we've done all of the healing, we've done all the positioning, everything's kapai, the baby's growing and doing well, but I still have this pain, then there might be something else going on and it's worth definitely contacting a specialist. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit, so we've got a question, how do I know if my baby's getting enough breast milk? So tell us a little bit about how we can know.
Yeah, so the thing with breastfeeding is we don't have a dial on the side, do we, to tell us how much our baby's taking. And the thing is that breastfeeding is a lot different to formula feeding in the sense that the volume that's kind of set at around 6 weeks doesn't change until the baby starts eating or supplementing their feeds. So that total volume is a little bit different for each mum, but it's somewhere between 750 and 1,000 mils a day. And that's divided into different portion sizes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a big feed, sometimes it's lots of little feeds. Mm-hmm. And so it's not so much about how much they get each feed. It's kind of how well they do over 24 hours and then for a period of time. So the way that we know that that's going well is we want to see lots of mummy, lots of tickle, some babies, but lots of poos in the first 6 weeks, but sometimes babies don't poo as often after 6 weeks, and that can have mum's worried. But as long as their teal's nice and soft and yellow or greeny or browny variations, and you know, 6 to 8 wet nappies a day. But I always encourage my mums, because mums know every freckle on their baby. I still know, mine are 15 and 12, and I still recognize when a new freckle appears. And so, you know, really trust your eyes when you're looking at your baby. Look at the little chin. We like to see double chins, not on Zoom. I don't like my double chin on Zoom, but we like to see double chins on babies. That's what I look for. And puffy cheeks, the rolls around their wrists and thighs, and their round, soft puku. And so if you've got all of those things and you can see that that's pretty consistent, the nappy's getting a bit tighter, the clothes are starting to fit a bit better, and then regular growth checks with your well child nurse, then those are all really great signs that your baby's getting enough and much less reliant on the way that it feels. Some women say, I feel like I've got nothing in there, you know, but if the baby's growing well and there's lots of mummy and stuff, then, you know, it can be less reliable how you feel. And also, so I hope that answers your question. In early weeks, midwives are pretty regularly checking, but I say, you know, count those little rolls and see how they're fitting in their clothes. And if they have lots of happy moments, and you're watching them drink your milk, it's going down and they're happy at the end of a feed, most feeds, then your baby's getting enough.
Nice. Yeah, lots of wet nappies, lots of good output growing well. Get those little squishies coming in. Awesome advice. Thank you. And now I'm going to go back to a question, apartheid, that has come through. Our comment, kia ora, Naze and Aaron. So our apartheid is, how do you support mums with increasing milk when breastfeeding?
Yep. So that's a big topic. The first thing that I encourage mums to do is to make sure that they need to increase their milk supply. So the reasons I help mums increase their milk supply is if they're mixed feeding and they want to reduce that supplementation. And you know, so we know that they're wanting to increase the supply because in order for their baby to grow, they're having a little bit of formula, a little bit of milk. And if they're happy with that, then kapai, that's fine. You know, that's all good. Everybody has different, you know, ways of doing things. But if we're wanting to try, people who are wanting to increase their milk supply, I'm usually trying to help them reduce those top-ups and increase the breast feeds. So one of the three main things, hormones. So all the hormones that make milk are happy hormones. So things like support and rest and aroha and all the help around the house and is really important. But also when you are doing the next most important thing, which is stimulation, so making sure that baby's latching well and removing as much milk as babies can. And sometimes the reasons mum have low milk supplies is because for some reason their baby's drive, maybe they're a little bit early or something, that they're not able to keep up and take it off. So stimulation would be with using your hands to hand express, using a pump if you can. But when you're using the pump, I talk to mums about the seesaw. So, you know, stress hormones and breastfeeding hormones, they work like a seesaw. So when you're pumping and you're like, oh, there's only 2 drops coming out, oh, no, you know,
not enough.
And I've got to do 5 minutes on that side and 5 minutes on that side, and I've still got the washing to put on, you know, that's stressful. And it can kind of so I always say, you know, if you're having to do some additional stimulation, use your hands in combination with pumping. Hands are really good, and distract yourself when you're pumping. Put a song over the bottle, watch something on TV, talk to someone on the phone, and put some headphones on and listen to a couple of songs all the way through, you know, just something to make you feel relaxed while you're doing, you know, the extra pumping, because long-term pumping is really hard to maintain. And so the next one's hormones. So sometimes, you know, we use medications to help increase breastfeeding hormones. And And there's lots of tinctures and teas and cookies and all sorts of things out there. A lot of them are very expensive. A lot of them are hard. There's not lots of hard science, but, you know, things that have been passed down in generations and in cultures that have worked for, you know, have worked for people. And so you know, if someone wants to make me some lactation cookies, I'm all for it because they are yum.
Nice. I've never tasted one. I've never had the pleasure. So anyone in Taranaki, hook me up. I'm just kidding. No, that's lovely. Naze and Aaron, thank you again for your part. Thank you again for your question. And we hope it was answered. I got a lot of great information out of that. So thank you, Tracy. Another question here, another biggie that comes out of the community as well is, my 3-month-old baby is getting fussy on the breast. What can I do?
3-month-old, that's my favorite age when I'm a plunket nurse, is visiting the 3-month-old. And that's hard because often for parents, that's the hardest time, one of the hardest time. Babies that are 2 to 3 months old do the most crying that they're ever going to do in their whole entire life. Just part of being a baby and their brain development is that they're going to cry a lot at that age and stage. And so it's a tough time. But the reason that they're crying is because their brain's just working really hard on doing all these amazing things like smiling and kōrero, a little bit of talking and giggling and
and they can't necessarily say mother, father, I have a problem. So there we go.
Yep. I found my voice and I'm gonna use it. Absolutely. So 3-month-olds, they just love interacting with people, and that's why it's my favorite age, because they tend to be like mums, you know, mums and dads are sitting there like, we're so tired, they're doing a lot of crying, and the baby's looking at me like, hi, this is a cool new place. I can see a whole lot of new stuff going on here, you know. So the world just really opens up to them. So sometimes fussiness at the breast can just be because they are becoming a bit more distracted. Up until then, it was all about the breast and all about the face and looking at you and learning how to connect with you and learning about your face and smiling at you and being at your breast and being held by you. The first 3 months, that's their entire world. Mm-hmm. But at 3 months, it's like, whoa, the dog, my brother, you know, a
my sound hands, comes my up. Hands. Yes, we have a lot of conversations. What are these? Yeah,
like, dude, these things. Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah, but that's the thing, you know, and so all of those like hunger signs that you were relying on, like sucking on your hand, starts to become less reliable, because instead of just being like, I'm hungry, as a newborn would, it's like, what does this thing do? You're like, well, I can get it now. Yeah. I can do that, you know, and so they're practicing it a lot. Sometimes it can be about reducing stimulation to help a baby to breastfeed that's a bit distracted, but sometimes reducing isolating yourself often can be hard to do. Sometimes it can be about incorporating some of that new development into your feed. So maybe you pop a necklace on so that they can watch it and touch it while you're feeding them, or get down on the floor under their play gym and offering the breast there. But sometimes sometimes mums can say, I'm like, okay, they're a bit fussy. Is it, do you think they want it to be faster? Or they say to me, I think that there's not enough there. They want it fast, or sometimes it's too slow. So if you think that your baby's being a bit fussy at the breast, coming off and on or tugging, it could just be that they're looking for a bit of a faster flow. And that's what that's their natural instincts, to try and get your body to do another letdown. So in that instance, a little bit of hand compression to help get the milk flowing, or swapping sides, swap. You don't have to hold there for 10 minutes and swap. You can swap. And then sometimes it's for the other reason. It's like, well, it's too fast, you know. And so I'm coming off and on and I'm a bit fussy because it's too fast. So in that instance, and for all 3-month-olds, one of the most important things is starting to remove any hands around their neck. you know, like a lot of mums start off this way or not, you know, but by 3 months old, babies like to drive. They've been doing it now for 3 months. They know what they like and what they want to do. So it's really important to let the baby drive the latch and the feed. And that way, if it's too fast, they might move themselves a little bit back and a little forward, you know, or come off and take a little break. So yeah, just having a little look at what might be causing the fussiness and then go from there.
Yeah, and it is really, it's gorgeous because I'm not trying to generalize, but in my personal experience, I remember the first time I held my small child, by instinct she found her way to her kai. And then, you know, after 3 months, as you were saying, they're experts in this. They know where everything is and they know what they need to do to get what they want as they need it. It's amazing. It's amazing. Hey, I have got another part I come through the Facebook page. So here we go. My 4 month old favors my left boob more than the right. And as a result, I now have less supply on that side. Now, one side is bigger than the other. Is there a way to bring my supply on the other side back up?
Yeah, so that's actually quite a common one. Most mums that I talk to, they have one boob that makes more or than the other. You know, we're not symmetrical. Our hands aren't symmetrical. Our feet aren't symmetrical, you know, so and the sides of our face. So in that same way, our breasts aren't symmetrical. So sometimes side favoritism comes from a certain positioning that the baby favors or that early positioning that you favor because it's more comfortable on that side. Sometimes it becomes a favor because the baby's position, you know, like that. So if they're a little bit tight in one side on the neck, it might be a bit more comfortable to go to the other side. So they want to go on that side a bit more. Most women have one breast that makes more than the other. So if a baby doesn't like it to be too fast, then they may favor the breast that's a little bit slower. And then a baby that likes it to be a bit fast might favor the breast that is going a bit fast. And sometimes this is to the extreme where women, you know, they just get so comfortable feeding off one side that the other side does, you know, just stopped you, because that's the other magical thing about breast milk. Your body just figures out what to do. So if one side's doing its thing and the other side's not so much, then it will start to just put more milk in that side. And to the extreme where I've seen women, you know, not breastfeed off one breast completely and just breastfeed off the other. But of course that gives that lopsided kind of thing. And so I've had mums stuff their bra with a sock if they're a little bit lopsided, if they decide to just one feed. And of course I've had mothers that have had mastectomies and so only breastfeed off one. So I mean, the moral of the story is if it doesn't bother you or your baby, then you don't have to do anything about it. But if you are feeling uncomfortable, and so the goal is to kind of bring that side back up a bit more, then I would try maybe working with the position a little bit. Is it if baby likes to feed in that position on that side, then maybe just switch them to the same position but on the other side. So you'd go from, you know, having your baby across your body to under your arm, or so sometimes just a change in position like that. If the baby likes one side because it's fast and the other side's too slow, then try and do some compressions on that side to speed it up a little bit. And the same for the other reason, if it's because that side's too fast, then maybe try side feeding lying down or sitting up and sitting back a lot more so the baby can control it. But otherwise it would just be about doing a bit of external stimulation if the baby doesn't want to do that. So some hand expressing is always best, but if you get a pump, but just being mindful that if you're taking lots of milk off one side, extra milk off, then your body's going to start replacing it, so you may end up with a little bit of oversupply there. But yeah,
awesome. A part-time from Olivia. Kia ora, Olivia. Hi, I have an 11-week-old, and we had got our feeds down to 20 minutes. However, for the last week, our feeds have increased to at least 45 minutes during the day only. Baby falls asleep, however, is still drinking, and if I unlatch her, she loses it until I continue feeding her. Is this a sign my milk supply is dropping?
Oh, that's a big one. So baby's 11 weeks old, and so we're doing 20 minutes and now it's going up to 45 minutes. I mean, so I think to know whether it's not, definitely not the first, my first instinct isn't that your milk supply is dropping. You know, if everything else is going okay in terms of growth and development and all those things that we talked about before, her nappies are fine, still the same, her, you know, then I would say that it could be a sign of a developmental change that baby's going through and just wanting to be a little bit more closer for a little bit longer. Yeah, and or, you know, there's lots of bugs out there at the moment, and so sometimes when babies are fighting off something, they may not have many symptoms other than just being a little bit more clingy and feeding for a little bit longer. So when it comes to mums that are feeding for really long times, I try to get them to really look at how their baby feeds. So, you know, when a baby feeds, they have to initiate a letdown, so they are a bit fussy off and on, push at the breast until, and what that does is it sends the messages, send the milk, so you have a letdown, and then they go on and you see this nice rhythmical sucking and swallowing. So when your baby's, you know, sucking and swallowing and pause, that's the drinking section, the main course of the feed. And then as the baby's tummy fills and they get a bit sleepy, so, you know, that's different time for everybody. They start to get a little bit more fluttery, their hands start to relax. And so at that stage, if you go to pull them off, they might go, oh, no, I want to do a little bit more, you know, and they might go on. And so that's okay. They can hang out there for a little bit longer. But if you're continuing into this little fluttering and you're not, you know, you're wanting to stop it, then that could be a good time to take her off, maybe just leave her next to the breast but not attached, and do some other kind of settling stuff.
So the just to reiterate, the sort of fluttering, the is more of a cool, I'm winding down from this moment. I'm getting there and I'm ready to hear. So yeah, it's really important to really acknowledge the comfort that breastfeeding brings a baby as well. So
yeah,
lovely. Thank you so much for that.
So I just wanted to say that I think if babies are sleepy for the whole feed and the sucking's more frantic and unrhythmical, and then things start happening, like the nappies are starting to drop off, then that would be more of a sign that that things might have changed, in terms of supply.
Thank you again, Olivia, for your patai tonight. So we are nearing the end. We're running out of time. Where did the time go? We're just having too much fun here, Tracy. Shall we go all night? I'm just kidding.
Hey, I could talk about breastfeeding for a long time.
Oh, and I could interview you. I could interview you for a long time. So we'll keep going. No, I'm so kidding. Hey, so thank you so much for that super, super informative discussion. And we've had some wonderful questions from our comments section, and just a big mihi to everyone out there who is watching us. Before we do wrap up our chat for tonight, Tracy, do you have any final words of advice to our viewers?
Yeah, I think so. It's breastfeeding week, and breastfeeding's not just a mama and a peppy's responsibility, it's everyone's. And so in this breastfeeding week, I think it's really important to talk about breastfeeding support and how vital it is, not only for the well-being of our mama and our peppy, but for improving health outcomes for all of us in New Zealand. So I'd love to see much more funded, you know, breastfeeding support in Aotearoa. It's historically heavily placed on female women volunteers, and so we need to talk about it more, and I encourage hapu mama to talk about breastfeeding with their mothers, with their fathers, with their grandparents, with their husbands and tamariki and aunties, hear their stories about feeding their their babies, breastfeeding, bottle feeding, you know, how it went for them, how it was in the early days, how long they fed for, you know, if they did need to do both, why did they need to do both, you know, or did they want to do one and they could only do the other, you know. These are really important conversations to have readily. And, you know, in school we learn about sexual health and things like that. We learn about reproduction and the science behind that, but we should learn about the science behind breastfeeding too, because it is important. That gives it more importance, you know. So don't be scared when you're hapu to get familiar with your breasts. A lot of mums, it's all about the birth when you're hapu, but it's important to think about breastfeeding, get familiar with your breasts, and hunt out where you can go if you need breastfeeding support for after your baby's born when you're hapu, so you've got that ready to go.
Lovely. And just before we wrap up, just in terms of Plunkett's video call, Plunkett Lactation Consultants. So LCs, lactation consultants, are just a video call away. So we offer free specialist breastfeeding support through video conferencing for all of well child providers. And all you need to do if you do need some support is just give Plunkett Line a call on 0800 933 922, and they will set you up with Tracy or one of the rest of the team, and then we will definitely support you on your breastfeeding journey, the highs and lows of it. You are not alone. So just to summarize, because I've got my lovely notes here that I was writing down as we went through, so I just want to reiterate, we've got some links coming across the bottom just for your information, everybody out there. I think the main things that I would like to reiterate is the host for this evening is pain. Nipple pain is not unusual, and there is support, and there are ways out there to help you get to the bottom of your problems. You are not alone in that pain. Ways that you know that your baby is getting enough, despite what you might be feeling. You might be feeling empty and that sort of stuff. If you are getting lots of wet nappies, lots of good textured poos, and they're growing well, nice and squishy, for example, we know that everything's going well with how much they're getting. And working with different positions, whether that's moving yourself or your baby around, just to get a bit more equilibrium when it comes to flow, comfort, feeding on one side or the other, just to find your way. Together, using those positions, you will work through it all. But the main thing is there is support out there, per our website, per our Plunkett Line, and even in your own towns, there are lactation consultants everywhere we can be. So thank you so much, Tracy, for joining us in this evening's live chat. It was so good to catch up with you, get that beautiful expertise from you. And for everybody watching, thank you so much for staying tuned. Thank you for your pātai. Thank you for your questions. And we hope that you found the chat super useful. If you have any questions whatsoever about breastfeeding, get in touch with your whānau āwhina, Plunkett nurse, kai āwhina, or health worker. And as I just said before, you can call our Plunkett Line team 24/7, 0800 933 922, to speak to a registered nurse. And one thing that I really want to, once again, I'm going to use that word reiterate. You don't have to be a Plunkett client to use that service. So please use it, no matter who you're signed up with as your tamariki order provider. Our website, plunkett.org.nz, you can navigate our website. You don't even need data on your phone to navigate the website. So please go through, have a look, have a chat to Aroha. She's our chat bot for any advice that you might need. And once again, whānau, e te whānau, thank you for joining this conversation. We're out, and we loved chatting with each other, and we loved engaging with you all, and we hope you have a great rest of your week. Happy breastfeeding week 2022. Nō reira, ka kite.